flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 307. Michael Kelly still hanging out. We have Janelle here, who, of course, does our movie reviews. This was a mistake, ever letting the two of you meet. I apologize to both of you in advance. I have no responsibility.
I wanted to meet her, and I'm thrilled to meet her. And then you just told me that she scores every Major League Baseball, Cardinal baseball game.
I do.
Confession, I don't know how to score a game. I'd love to learn.
Oh, come on,
really?
Michael.
Yeah,
that's the tack you're taking?
Do I have to get my man card back?
I taught myself, so you should
I just realized I have seats behind home plate, perhaps.
Is the first baseman the first player or the fifth player? One, five,
third.
Six, or...
One, two,
we were just
three,
talking
four,
about... I forgot how we even got into this, but we were talking about when we were kids... how they just hoored us out by selling all these wares. And one guy showed up, and I wish people my age would call and say I'm not crazy. It was about 6 inches long. It was just made of fuzz, and it had googly eyes, and it was attached to a fishing string.
I know what you're talking about.
You feel me?
I've seen him.
And this guy who came, and had the only person in the world who could work this thing, and he's like pulling it all over his body, and I'm like, I must have that.
Right.
Give it to me. And tried to sell like a million subscriptions to The Advocate or something.
Child labor.
But they would come in two or three times a year. And just get us hopped up on the goofball and send us out.
And then send you home to your parents to publicly shame them that you've got to go sell $80 worth of junk so my kid can get a 25-cent plastic piece.
Yeah.
And in today's world, it's even worse. I just did this for a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Now, I get more emails from them than I get from LinkedIn telling me that somebody wants to talk to you, you know? It's crazy.
So what are we talking today?
Well, we can talk. I did see September 5th, and it is actually coming out this weekend. So, really good movie, really short, 90 minutes, about the Munich Olympics, 1972, the Israeli wrestlers, coaches held hostage. Very good movie. It's about how ABC Sports handled it instead of turning it over to
cool
the news.
That's cool for you, Will.
Yeah, I think
I'm curious about it, because the movie that covered it before was Munich, but that was a different perspective.
Right.
As like from the
really think you'd enjoy this one. Yeah, I do. And I know how tough you are. You stay in. There's no monkeys.
No monkeys.
No monkeys.
I love monkeys. I just don't want monkeys to be playing people.
Oh my God! I can't do this again.
No, I'm done.
No, we won't. We're done.
Yeah.
We're done. Really good. We'll see that. If you want to talk Oscars, there is a little bit of controversy. I mean, there's always the natural like who got snubbed, and all that jazz. But it came out, I think, last week that The Brutalist used AI to fix Adrian Brody's Hungarian accent a bit. Now they're saying, well, obviously we didn't use it all. We used his voice, but we massaged it in and made it sound more authentic. So he's nominated for Best Actor, along with Timothy Chalamet, who studied Bob Dylan for years to get down his voice patterns, playing the guitar, singing just like him. Does that lessen Adrian Brody's chances, or should it, for Best Actor?
First of all, I'm not sure that Timothy needed all that time. I think I can do it now, and I haven't even practiced.
Who is that?
But I also understand why having someone's craft be massaged by technology. Do we have any precedent for this?
AI has been used, they obviously, I think James Earl Jones signed over his rights to use his voice still as Darth Vader. It has been used to make Robert De Niro's voice sound younger in The Irishman.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's
certainly worked in that scene where he was beating the crap out of that guy, didn't it?
Oh, man, he was
seamless.
Yeah.
Right. So
take that, buddy.
And they're starting to use, more and more. Visually, yes, because they're starting. Also, the controversy is that it's replaced some of the architecture drawings, I think, that were at the end of the movie, which is odd, they're saying, is because the movie is about making art compromising with capitalism, which is exactly
what's going on.
Like,
yeah,
right, right.
How interesting.
With the AI. So, it's, people are just kind of wondering if, should the thumb be on the scale for Timothy over Adrian because of it, or does that affect his performance?
What do you think?
I think he's a shoo-in to get it. I think extra credit should be given to somebody that's really worked to sound like who they're acting. I mean, that was the thing about Meryl Streep, right? She was always the accent. She did Polish, she did Danish, Irish. And it was always like she could do the accent so well, and that was why she was considered one of the greatest actresses of our time, still is. Do you let somebody come in and AI and a computer do their accent for them and them be considered a great actor, at least the best actor in that movie?
Wheels has to hit you.
Disqualifying.
No.
Shouldn't even be nominated. No, I'm serious.
No,
how strange. You have a definitive opinion.
I know. I was like, well,
no, I'm dead serious. I mean, to me, that's not much different than an athlete using performance-enhancing drugs to be better.
That's
it's the same idea,
yes.
In that you're not doing the work. Now, you did some of it,
right.
So you're going to get credit for what you
sure.
did. But how can you be the best when it's not all you?
Correct. I forgot to say, they also did use this AI, too, for Val Kilmer's voice in Top Gun Maverick because he couldn't
Right,
because
he... Right, right.
Right. So, like,
but he's not being nominated for an award. Like,
exactly.
In general,
this is the first time somebody's being... That is in the nomination role that they're like, this is part of the nomination.
So whichever way it goes, I don't think AI is going anywhere, much less in Hollywood. But do you think this could have a momentary chill effect that maybe the next...
No, I think either they're going to stop talking about it. It was the film editor who gave a random interview to some website and all of a sudden it blew up out of nowhere. And so it was like, ooh, well, it doesn't take much controversy for somebody to all of a sudden now people won't vote for them when it comes to award season. I think it's always been used. It will always be used. I think they just might do a better job of just not talking about it, or it'll become so widespread that they won't care anymore. But I like everybody thought, like, when Andy Serkis played Gollum, that he should have been nominated for supporting actor. But they didn't have anything because it's, was that motion?
Yeah. It was motion capture.
Stop capture.
But he actually did the motions, though. Like, he actually...
Right.
Was doing what the character was doing and doing the voice.
Right.
You were covering it, the visual of it.
Right.
So that'd be, to me, that'd be like putting makeup on somebody to take on a character. You're being made up to look like Nosferatu. Right. You're doing the work. It's not being enhanced by something.
But can you ever see, like, an Avatar actor being nominated for best support? Can you see it? I mean,
I can see them being nominated for, like, say, for a voice actor. Like in video games,
because
video game actors are using just their voice. They're not actually doing the action on the screen.
They're talking about now this AI is going to, it has started to replace voice acting. Because if you can get it cheaper without hiring an actor, why wouldn't you just...
One of the creepiest things I've heard in a long time, Andrew, you'll recall this from a few months ago, a radio show with a man and a woman doing a radio show. And then they realize or are told in the middle of their show that they are AI and they don't exist.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was so creepy because it's very believable listening to these two entities discuss well, I guess we'll not see you tomorrow then, right? You know, Cooter and the Bear, blah, 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 whatever. And just like, it was so creepy that these things seem to be experiencing that they're actually AI.
Right, but they weren't actually self-aware. They're just programmed to react to certain things a certain way.
I guess. But at some point, perception being reality,
yeah.
I mean, if they can make it so real that it fools us that they're actually having this emotional response.
Well, I think that's the thing, right? It's fooling us. They're not actually experiencing it because they're not. It's not. We haven't reached that point.
They're not sentient.
Yeah, but they even still talk.
We are the one that can. Well, I mean, your computer can.
Yeah, well, they're talking about like that. There's still people that you still. There's something human in you that can recognize that doesn't sound right. You know, like something's off. Something's off with like when you played that on the radio. It still did sound a bit.
It was a little stiff.
Yeah, it sounded there like the uncanny valley kind of thing. Like you just something in your being is like this isn't normal. Like I don't want to say normal, but human.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it like I said, it happened for this movie. It's everybody's questioning the timing of it. They were suspecting that early on that it was put out there by. People who wanted
take him down.
Yeah, Timothy to be.
Is he responding, Adrian?
I don't think so. I haven't seen anything with his response to it. I know the director came out and said it and was like, come on, you know, like this is, it's used. He was still talking. It was still his voice. We just cleared up some of the consonants and vowels to make it sound better.
Any predictions or problems with the nominations?
I think Emilia Perez got too many. Of them. I think maybe it's recency bias. I don't think it's that great of a film to have 13 nominations in it. I was glad to see The Substance make it. I need to watch that. It was good for people who love horror, you know, that's...
And your boy, Sebastian Stan?
You could have picked him for A Different Man or The Apprentice. I think he's so good. But again, if you watch The Apprentice, he sounds just like Donald Trump. You know, it... Should he get the bump over somebody who...
Did you see that he was nominated for Best Actor?
Right.
The guy that played Trump?
Yeah, so...
Have you seen that film?
Yes.
And is it...
It's good. He's good. I like the direction his career has taken.
Did it make you any more or less sympathetic to Donald Trump, the person?
No. No, it's... I mean, you're like, oh, I get it, but it doesn't make it any more right. I guess you see that the Roy Cohn, I'm like his mentor. Such.
And he's up too.
He's up too, yeah. Mm-hmm. Playing basically the same character he did in Succession. But yeah, he's really good. That's a good movie. It's, yeah, I don't think it's, you're like, oh.
Before we let you go, any recommendations like streaming, anything that you've seen that?
I do recommend September 5th. I know, like I said, we had been waiting to see when the release date was. It had been released in a lot of other places, but this weekend in St. Louis. So, yeah, I recommend that one.
Okay. So, follow Janelle, holy_LELLE. Is that for everything? Because I know I always
basically,
say it and I get it wrong.
Basically, yeah.
They'll find you.
They'll find me.
Yeah, Michael found you after years of searching.
Years.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
K23, DGS on KMOX. Stairway to Kevin?
Sure. Let's see. What do we want to do? What do they want to do? I'll keep it on the lighter side. Did you see that Bill Burr and Billy Corgan met up?
I heard it was awkward.
It was very awkward. Well, so you know the story, right?
We
talked about this, I think. Do you know the story, Michael?
No.
That Billy Corgan was on a podcast and said that he was told that his dad might also be Bill Burr's dad. And they look super alike. You know, they're like...
Billy Corgan, the Smashing Pumpkins lead singer.
Smashing Pumpkins guy says that he was told that his dad was a traveling musician and was told that, hey, that, you know that Bill Burr guy? And he was like, no, I don't, because I think it was before Bill Burr was famous that Billy Corgan was told this. He goes, yeah, you guys, I think you might be related. Your dad, you know, might have had a thing with his mom. And they talked, like, they brought them together on the same podcast recently. And Bill Burr was joking about it. And, like, he was making fun of the whole thing. And, like, what, you guys brought me here to where we supposed to hug it out, like, going through all of this stuff. And I just thought it was fascinating. Like, when you look at them, they do look a lot alike, aside from just the, you know, the bald head.
And I think Bill Burr established that his dad did know Corgan's mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, the other way around.
Oh, other way
Corgan's
around.
Corgan's dad knew his mom.
Yeah.
And Burr was like, I don't want to get into any of that old, because he was not, he's always said he didn't love his childhood.
You know, the other celebs that's the case with.
Woody?
Yeah, Woody and Matt McConaughey.
Yeah, I've heard that rumor. Did they ever explore that?
They have explored it a little bit. I don't think I think everyone involved is no, because Woody's dad, I think, is no longer with us. He was a hitman. And he's gone, but Matthew McConaughey's mom is like, yeah, I was in Greece with, like, and it basically intimated that she had some kind of relationship with Woody Harrelson's dad, and it's like, because I don't think either of them know who Matthew McConaughey's biological dad is. I think it was one of those situations.
So the reason I wanted to
bring
it up. That's
what the movie Mamma Mia is based on in Greece.
The reason I wanted to bring it up is just, like, how would you handle that? You find out that not only this somebody you've never met before is your half brother, but you guys look alike.
I think it would be cool.
You're both famous.
Probably would be pretty jarring if you found that out as a teenager or even as a young person. But right. At 60, if I found out I had a half sibling, I'd embrace it.
Yeah. I kind of had the same reaction. I'd be like,
and forgive
know?
My dad. Like, okay. All right. Well, he's gone.
I have a friend of mine who's older, whose dad, just recently passed away, almost 100 years old, was in World War II, grew up in a small town in Iowa, comes back from World War II, goes to the tavern and to see his parents, and somebody calls him by the wrong name. And he's like, pardon me? No, my name's, you know, this. And the guy goes, no, man, your name's Tom. It's not Bill. And Tom, I'm going to call Tom. So they get Tom to come down to the bar. The guy looks exactly like him. They get drunk together, literally goes home that night with the guy to his parents, and his mom breaks down and says, yeah, I couldn't afford you both. I had to give one up.
Wow.
They were twin brothers, met each other in a bar.
Wow.
Get out.
Yes. Bill, my friend, would be happy to tell the story sometime. It's a great story, but how crazy is that?
Yeah.
Like, to see somebody and...
I know our mutual friend Vanessa is huge about Greece.
Right.
Very, very... Greek. She's good friends with my best Greek friend, Noel Spasianos. And when Noel was in Greece, I don't think I was with him because we went there together, but I think he was there and he went to his hometown and knew no one. His mom and dad were from there. And an old lady, the classic old lady, the tiny little thing in black sackcloth, and she started yelling, Spasianos, Spasianos. And she comes up to him and says, you're Sebastianos, I can tell by your nose. And
wow.
She was right.
What if I went to Ireland and there was a whole town of me?
Oh, there are many.
But I don't just mean like just look like me, but also just me.
They just swarm us and beat the crap out of us as soon as we walk in.
Will you put this green outfit on and I can tell you if I've seen you before?
We had something like that.
Where, leprechaun.
In high school, one of my wife's good friends from high school. Her parents are from Ireland, like that. They came over from Ireland. They're not just Irish. They are from there. And I walked into their house for some party of some kind. And they were immediately like, oh, my God. It's one of
you
kind of
look like it today. You're wearing like a green flannel. You look like if Eddie Vedder were.
I'm a little leprechaun lumberjack.
Welcome back, guys. DG Ask 335. Michael Kelly hanging out with us. Let me give you, you don't need it, but let me give you a shout out for Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2 at 8:30 in the morning on Sundays. It is such a good show, not just because I'm buddies with you guys, but you do in half an hour what it takes other shows 2 hours to do, and you do it better.
Well, thank you. It's like true. A Dave Murray weather forecast.
It
it's
is.
All just bundled up, wrapped nicely for you, and handed Wait, right to you.
Dave does a half hour.
Thank you for that, Dave.
Forecast?
I've been able to do a half hour.
Man. Is that storm mode, or is that like...
Yeah, Dave, what's the longest you've been on the air?
8 hours.
Wow.
Wow.
So it was all in 1 week. I did a 7 hours and 30 minutes. That was a new record. Whew. And 2 days later did 8 hours.
Was that when you were with the National or local here?
No, that was local. That was at Channel 2.
Wow.
That was one event where I said, I'm going under the desk because there was a tornado on the ground very close to our station.
Oh,
it was one
God.
That kind of hit the airport.
Yeah.
And I said, this is really close. Advised everybody in our building to go to the safe place, which we had just really established about 3 weeks ago. And everybody went into the interior hallway. And I said, if I go under my desk, which I may do, I'm still going to do the weather. But if I disappear all of a sudden, you'll know we got hit.
Wow.
Dave, was Joplin the worst storm you covered in your career? Like
that,
locally?
As far as a tornado, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, there's been the blizzard of 82, the flood of 93. I can go on and on with events in St. Louis that have been spectacular.
If you go to a convention of meteorologists in Detroit and you say, like, oh, I did most of my career in St. Louis, are they like, ooh, hey, nice?
No. Nobody cares.
Bastards.
Sons of guns.
But Dave, is somebody who's in the craft of weather forecasting, you know how they say if you want to be a police officer, you go to where the crime is? I mean, you come to the place that has four seasons. It's not like you're in Florida, right?
Or, exactly. No, you know, it just depends on really what you want to do. I like exciting weather. I like weather, four seasons, excitement. And that's why so much of my career was in St. Louis. You know, when I was on National, it was like, oh, man, this is like the most boring thing ever. And it was. I have to say one thing about Hancock and Kelly.
Yeah.
And you guys know this, is that they used to tape that. It was on a Friday afternoon, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And they would tape in the studio. The Weather Center was in the studio. And I loved listening to that as I was working.
Very nice.
Well, that's so kind.
Look at that.
Yeah. Now, let me just tell you from a Hancock and Kelly perspective. I mean, here's a couple of political hacks, right? We're used to, you know, people spitting in our face and stuff. Then we go to places where a guy like Dave Murray, like the fact that he would even know our name and say to us, hey, guys, I watched you. It's like, oh, he's lying. Give me a break. Dave Murray no, the nicest time on political people. I remember the first time I was there and him and Mandy Murphy, I'm like fanboying, like,
You get recognized a lot.
Yeah, well, I hang out with you.
Oh, when we're out together. And one time when we're coming back from the race.
Yeah.
Where we had no business being in public.
Yeah.
And someone pulls up, they're like, Hancock and Kelly. And Mike goes, that's Dave Glover. They're like, I get it. It's like, what a banner day.
It's this white squiggly hair. You know what I'm saying?
It stands out.
Yeah.
How did you do your show on Friday when you, like that, to be timely, that must have been tough. Things change so quickly now.
Yeah, that's part of the reason they moved us to Sunday.
Yeah.
And is because, you know, Donald Trump would do something unbelievable and we had taped it. And so we didn't get to see Dave anymore. And now we see the weekend weather.
You know who else is great? Not getting enough credit? Andy.
Andy's a good dude.
He's
man.
Really good at that.
Yeah,
Andy's a good dude. And, you know, it's not often that these types of reporters wind up getting to be in their hometown. And I think that Andy brings a special flavor
a nice
because
career.
He's Absolutely. From St. Louis. See, he's got that fabric in him.
He told me one time, he won't get in trouble for this now. It was when he was a Cub reporter. And he said, he's like, Glove, the first assignment they gave me, there's a pack of wild dogs in East St. Louis. And I got over there with my cameraman and there was only one dog. So we shot him from 38 different angles.
Got a pack of identical dogs.
Well, on that same note, we had some high winds. This goes back, I don't know how long. And they sent a photog out. Go out and shoot us some high winds. They couldn't find any winds. So the photog shot a stop sign, and the stop sign was shaking.
Oh, no.
And just for fun, it never hit the air. but he panned down and there was a guy shaking the stop sign to make it look like it was windy.
Who was it that got caught in the flooding where they were out on a, oh, yeah, on a canoe?
Walked by.
And then some guy walks by and it was like shin high water.
That was a good one.
Hey, Dave, back in the day, did you ever have to do one of those stand on the beach and let the wind just blow on you hurricane chops?
I did Opal when I was in St. Louis, did a couple of hurricanes on the national level. And no, never really did that because it's just like standing on the Tam overpass in a blizzard. Yeah, do we really need to do that?
Right.
We don't need to do that. You don't need to show people. All they have to do is look out their window and see what's going on.
Agreed. So what are we looking at for the rest of the week, Dave?
It's cold tonight, about 9 degrees. We'll do it for the overnight low. It's a cold evening, northwest flow. Friday, partly to mostly sunny. It's still cold, but it's okay. It's about 5 degrees warmer than today, 35, 24 on Friday night. The weekend, Saturday, partly sunny. Be a chilly start up until about 10 o'clock in the morning, but a nice winter's afternoon. We're going to pop with a southerly flow, 47 for the high. Couple of spots, especially south, could get into the low 50s. Saturday night, 25. Another little cool front comes by. Sunday, mix of clouds and sunshine and about 40 degrees on Sunday. So Saturday continues to be a wonderful afternoon after what we've been through.
Dave, obviously this is a big ask, but are there any indications of another big storm for the rest of this winter?
No. For the rest of the winter? Yeah, well, we've got to get through February, though. The first part of February looks like it's going to be relatively pleasant for winter, and we have to get through March. And so that's a long way. We talked about it yesterday. A pattern flip is in the air as we get out of the northwest flow, as the big western high-pressure system breaks down, big low-pressure system comes down the west coast. Whenever that happens, we set up into a southwesterly flow that keeps the really cold air up in the Arctic. And we've had two major blasts of Arctic weather. The Arctic has to recharge. There's really nothing left as far as the super cold air is concerned. So that's got to kind of get its act back together again.
Okay. Andrew, can you do Throwback Thursday?
Yeah, I can do a Throwback.
Got it? Okay.
I do. Throwback Thursday.
He's doing his
throwing it back in.
Here we go.
Yeah, I can do that.
Back in the days.
I'm going to see. You know, it's got to be in the past, and we're going to talk about it. 176 years ago, in 1849, a woman named Elizabeth Blackwell got her medical degree from New York's Geneva College to become the first ever female doctor.
I bet the second one wasn't for a while.
that was
129 years ago.
That was 50 years ago. No, 92 years ago in 1993, the 20th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified. That's the one that is set the date that a new president assumes office and determines what would happen if the president-elect dies before he can assume office.
Interesting.
Which I don't think has ever happened before.
No, I think who's the guy? 30 days.
William Henry Harrison.
Yeah.
68 years ago in 1957, that Throwback Thursday will be coming in about 30 days. 68 years ago in 1957, toy company Whammo produced the very first ever Frisbee.
Nice.
Whammo!
Hey.
By 1977, 20 years, they sold over 100 million.
Frisbees
Everyone in America had a dang Frisbee.
A thing.
Yeah.
In my neighborhood,
I've got some
too.
Sitting there.
They still
my
are,
dogs
but,
love them.
Yeah, they still are, but I mean, like, they were the thing.
Did you ever use one of the big ones?
Yeah, yes.
Like a,
yeah. The ones that are hollow in the middle.
Those are so great.
No, these were regular Frisbees, but they're the size of a manhole cover.
Oh.
Frisbees were a deal in South Roxana for a couple summers.
Yeah.
And, like, the older guys would use those, and they'd bounce them off the concrete and just like, oh my God.
Yeah, there was the one that was also like just a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that one would go forever.
I had a stint as an ultimate Frisbee player for a couple summers.
Back when you're in euphonium shape?
Yep. I loved it. Ultimate Frisbee is so much fun. 52 years ago in 1973, President Nixon announced that an accord had been reached to end the Vietnam War. Seems like not that long ago.
Wasn't.
I mean, 52, when you think of Vietnam, at least I do, I think of it like pretty, I mean, I know there are, plenty of living veterans, but.
I remember watching the lottery on the television for the draft and watching it with my family and my brother, and then my brother ended up just enlisting so that he wouldn't have to go to Vietnam. They ended up sending him to Germany. And then I saw the number one, hey, if you'd been 18 at this time, how was your birthday? Mine was number one.
Oh, wow.
September 6th was the first number to pop up.
It's interesting your brother did that because my dad did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is he enlisted and then he didn't get sent to Vietnam. He ended up getting sent to Thailand and was, I think, working as like a security guy, driver for some officer. Like that was how that was the assignment.
That whole idea of a national lottery of who we're going to draft to send to war is such a foreign concept to me. It didn't exist when I was alive. And I heard you say earlier, could we rise to the task? Do you think our society really could handle implementing a draft?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way.
If you were facing the existential threat, yes.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what would have to have happened.
I don't think it would go as swimmingly as it did in the 40s.
No.
I think it would. I think people would understand. Like if it were a case where, because what got it going and what set people off was that we were attacked by another nation, not by Al Qaeda, not by some group, but by another country. Japan blew up our soldiers, our sailors, and blew up a naval base in Hawaii. And we already knew what was going on in Europe at that same time. I mean, it was literally an existential threat to the world what was happening. And if that same thing, what would the scenario be?
September 11th.
Say China bombs California.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Russia's invading all of Europe. I think our reaction as the people that would get, now I'm too old, but you know what I mean? The draft age people would be the same.
Isn't it weird being too old?
Yeah.
I mean, we're way too old.
I know.
But it just doesn't feel right.
No, and if it ever got to the point where they needed us, boy, we're in trouble.
If this were the Civil War, they would have made me a general.
Yeah, I know. General Glover.
Right? Just having a white beard, they're like, you'll do.
Yeah.
Go invade Richmond.
Yeah, it is weird being too old for that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Heck, I'm older than most of the coaches in the NFL now. That's what's freaked me out. I see all these guys coaching the NFL, and I'm older than them. That's weird.
Got one more?
Yeah. How about a triple of... Well, I got a bunch here. I'm trying to consolidate them now. A triple of TV 50 years ago in 1975. Barney Miller debuted on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
48 years ago in 77, Roots began airing on ABC.
Man, that affected me.
Yeah. And became the most watched TV program in history. And 42 years ago in 83, The A-Team.
Oh, yes.
Debuted on NBC. I knew these guys Kevin that were, would be jazzed about that.
Oh, it's the best show ever, man. These guys are like crack, the best of the best military guys. They shoot all those bullets and nobody ever gets shot.
Mm.
Ever.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
Matt Pauley coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Talk some sports. You guys want some nightmare fuel? There are 25 million tons worth of spiders on Earth right now.
Yeah.
And based on the amount they eat, in theory, they could eat every single human on the planet in 1 year.
Good thing they have small mouths.
The spiders or the...
The spiders.
They eat 800 million tons of prey every year, while all the humans on Earth weigh around 300 million tons. That's not bad.
So what is it? Most of that's bugs, right? Bugs are just... They're so much more than we are as far as like... This is kind of their planet.
Yeah. I mean, if an alien race came down and they were bugs, they'd be like, right on. It's a bug planet.
It's a revolution.
With this, like, human infestation.
That's probably how it would be looked at, yeah.
Is it true that bugs don't go over a certain height, though? Like,
I don't know.
From the ground?
It's got to be.
I've always heard, like, if you lived on the 20th floor, you don't have to deal with mosquitoes.
Oh, no. Flying ones can't go so high. Yeah,
those little
yeah.
Asian beetle things were all over outside this window, so they can at least go.
Yeah, we're only like 20 feet up.
Yeah, no, we're not that high up. No, I think you're right. I think about way up high because people can leave their windows open. You're not going to get bees or mosquitoes and stuff like that. But, I mean, the crawly ones will crawl up there eventually.
Ugh.
They'll follow the food.
Never had that thought before.
What's that?
What was the worst?
Think about how high that must seem to a bug.
What was the worst bug in Florida?
The worst?
Most annoying.
The most annoying are the palmetto bugs because they're everywhere and they're gigantic.
What do they look like?
They look like they're cockroaches, but they're just like three times the size.
Right
they're
on.
Huge like that.